Hey, welcome to Info Under the Radar, the show where we talk with an expert to simplify everyday ideas, concepts, and subjects that surround us.
Hello, and welcome to another short episode of Info Under the Radar. I'm your host, Vishwajit.
And I'm Devendra.
Devendra, we are doing another short cast. Today, we are talking about audio social applications. What the heck is Clubhouse and why everyone is going crazy about it? Why do you care about Clubhouse?
Do I care about Clubhouse? No, I don't really care about apps on my phones more often than not. For Clubhouse, I've not been that active of a user. So it's a good to have, but it's so far I haven't felt that it's a need to have where I'm gaining something out of it. But mm-hmm. I'm not that active, so maybe that's the reason. Mm-hmm. What about you? You have been active in one point.
I was definitely active. And then this podcast happened. So now I don't have enough energy left to hear other people talk audio. I think we hear each other enough. In all seriousness, yes, I was active. I would say for a couple of weeks, I was very active mm-hmm. and definitely found some really amazing conversation being part of it, speaking at some point, and also even organized a room once. It is still a nice place to be because mm-hmm. I think because there are still not so many people like other social media applications. So, but then there are a lot of aspects of it which we are going to talk in a bit, which are not so nice.
Yeah. So for people who do not own an iOS device, Clubhouse so far has only been on iOS. So just to put you brief context of the terms that we used, a room is when you do some sort of a group call. So it's just audio only. There is no concept of video involved here. So that is what a room is. And when you say a moderator, is just like any formal setting. When you go to a conference or an event, then there is a moderator. And then the person can choose or give a preference to someone who wants to speak and then control the flow of the direction. And then there are other people who are listeners, and then there are some people on the stage, and all of this is very clearly segregated in the application when you use it. So like, this is how in general how Clubhouse works, right? More or less.
Yeah, I think you covered it very well. And not only does not have a video component, but mm-hmm. it also don't even have a text component. Mm-hmm. And the only text thing you can do is to have your own bio, and mm-hmm. you can't really even text anyone. So that's also something which a lot of people don't like on Clubhouse, that if let's say I want to connect you outside Clubhouse, I cannot just directly text you inside. Yeah. Either have sort of have a weird audio call, which is like audio room between two of us, or reach out to you on any other social media.
There has been other complaints as well, right? Regarding earlier, now they might have resolved it, but the content discovery thing, like the feed wasn't as fine-tuned. And since people now are, you know, very used to these high quality feeds from Twitter and Facebook and all. I won't mention LinkedIn here. Well,
yeah. So I started using Clubhouse in the beginning of 2021. Mm-hmm. And at that time, the recommendation was so bad. Like, I was seeing recommendation of rooms in like Cantonese or like mm-hmm. Korean, which I have nothing to do with, just because I follow some of the people who, you know, who are active in those rooms. It used to be a bigger problem. I think it has gotten better. Now I only see like rooms in English, for example. That's my primary language of use on Clubhouse, or in German. I think they have gotten better. So content discovery has been an issue. I also have like friends who are complaining, yeah, I like Clubhouse, but I don't know how to find mm-hmm. Good content. So my experience has been, first of all, like following relevant people. So for example, if you like someone's content on YouTube, pretty sure they are on Clubhouse by now. So mm-hmm. maybe follow them and then follow people like them, so that you already have a, let's say, better feed. And you can also follow groups on Clubhouse, which is very similar to like Facebook groups, let's say.
But what is the appeal behind this in general? Like, all these features that you mentioned have existed in the past. In general, like following someone or being part of a group and all of that. This is like, there is no novelty here. So, but what is the appeal of this audio only thing then?
Yeah, because of the audio only part, mm-hmm. right? So that these things exist, as you said, rightfully mm-hmm. so, but they exist in different form. And mm-hmm. now you can literally sitting on your toilet
mm-hmm.
while listening to a very interesting conversation
mm-hmm.
without even ever have to worry about, oh, what if my accidental camera is turned on, which we all, some of us worry about, right, in those situations. So it's like, it's a different sort of freedom. Like you can have, because more often than not, humans do feel more comfortable
mm-hmm.
In audio format than, let's say, sometimes in a text format. Or of course, it depends person to person as well, right? Some people prefer one medium over the other. But for more audiophiles, let's say, or people mm-hmm. who prefer audio as a medium, there is a definite appeal here without worrying about, you know, looks or something like that, right?
So it basically, you mean to say that it capitalizes on the idea of a person being expressive while they speak, but takes away the weightage of their looks or their surroundings. So it finds a middle ground between that, because then text isn't that expressive, audio is, and audio isn't that exposing of your at the moment looks and your background, but then you still get the expressiveness out of that.
Yeah, and also like there is this feel of so of course Clubhouse also have a lot of rooms which are not productive and maybe not interesting for a lot of people, but like in, let's say, the rooms which I found good, the order is very clear, like the moderation, people on rooms, it's very clear who is speaking, who is not, everyone's mics are automatically closed. So the overall experience also has been enhanced in this setting, which I did not found, let's say, in other platforms which I have used. So I think combination of audio and like good, let's say, user experience, which Clubhouse team did, made it a pretty good product. And now that's why they are probably worth more than $1 billion. So yeah.
But I don't know, in some strange odd way, this is like some sort of an evolutionary cycle repeating in social media in one way, right? So like if you want to listen about it more into detail, you could go to one of our episodes where we covered this in quite detail with Dr. Sakthi Balan. But we started off with like text. And then when the internet bandwidth increased, more forms of media came into picture. Like we started sharing pictures and then audio, and then video call became the norm stuff. Like when WhatsApp came initially, it didn't have video call.
Mm-hmm.
It just had the audio feature because of the limited internet capacities of 2G and 3G at that time. And now we are entering 5G. But even with that, now we are going to the earlier cycle, which was in 2010, 2012, I guess, where doing a free call from WhatsApp was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time, calls used to cost, at least in India, best to what I remember. So now we are going back to that audio and then trying to repeat the cycle. So I don't know what's next, but it kind of, to me, falls like a pattern that text, audio, text, images, audio, video, and then we are coming back to the audio.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, because mm-hmm. the audio which you mentioned was not social audio.
Mm-hmm.
The audio which you mentioned, like a call between two people,
mm-hmm.
it's different because... Yeah, you could do that also like on a conference call, or there was a possibility also mm-hmm. with just a normal phone call. This is like people connecting at a very mass scale. So for example, in a Clubhouse room, mm-hmm. you can have 10,000 people. I don't know, now maybe even more, they have increased their capacity over time of each room. And there you can have, it's more like a virtual conference kind of a vibe, I would mm-hmm. say, in a Clubhouse. Or now with other platforms like Twitter Spaces, for example, Twitter mm-hmm. recently launched their...
Is it exactly the same or there is...
Well, Twitter recently get it out of beta, I think. So mm-hmm. now everyone above who has more than 600 followers mm-hmm. can create a Twitter space.
Okay.
Before it was only for like beta testers. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is very similar in mm-hmm. some ways. In other ways, it's a bit different. So for example, it's available also on Android.
Mm-hmm.
But it also have like, for example, captions. So mm-hmm. if you don't want to hear what someone is saying, but you just want to read because you are, I don't know, in a situation where you can't listen clearly or whatever. So that's an added thing. And also for people who cannot hear, right? Mm-hmm. So that's also very good
thing to do.
In the tech world, we are always talking about more accessible. So to me, that's a good sign of being accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And then of course, like in Twitter, you have so much text medium. So it's so easy to connect. So yeah, it's, but just coming back to like the evolution of social, what we were talking about. So to me, we had audio before as well,
mm-hmm.
but it was more at a private level. Mm-hmm. And now we are talking at a more like what mm-hmm. social media do, like at an amplified.
So it added a new dimension to it in some regards.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, now you can also see, now it's also a new way for creators or celebrities, let's say, to connect with their fans or vice versa. As I said, like, I was able to connect with these YouTubers who I watch before I could write a comment on YouTube and tweet at them, and then maybe they will reply. But now I can literally have a conversation very much real time. So that's also another aspect.
I think that's kind of one of the psychological aspects that they have capitalized on as well, right? Like earlier, there was an element of patience when you're writing to someone that you admire. Like, let's say, back in like 2 or 3 decades ago, that would be just a postcard or a letter or PO box thing that we used to do. And we may or may not get some sort of a reply. And then all these with social media and Twitter, not Twitter, like YouTube, and all these becoming celebrities, comments became a thing, or live chat became a thing, where you still know that there is a limited boundary or there is a limited scope of time in which you may or may not get a response. And then Clubhouse comes and it capitalizes on that even more, that oh, you're gonna get response like now. Like everything as should happen like real time now. So I think they're kind of capitalizing.
And it's on a more, rate. In a way, it's also more equalizing because the fan, like as you said, like you write a letter or you write and you don't even know if you will get a response. Now it's more like you are still at a different level, so to speak, but you're still very much in like a same room, even though it's virtual. Because before, to able to do that, you can have like those big Zoom calls which certain celebrities were doing, but that was never meant for fans. And this is like 10,000 people can be in the room. That does not mean you can still talk to them, because you can raise your hand in a Clubhouse room and moderator will have to decide if they allow you to speak, but the potential is much higher.
Still a step towards flattening the hierarchy a bit.
Definitely. I genuinely believe that.
Do you think it's like, is it going to be like this new story with this Twitter adopting it, and Facebook also has some rumors coming out that he would also have some sort of similar feature on the audio only front of it. Do you think Clubhouse or could face the same fate as once Snapchat did with the stories and everything?
I mean, whenever Facebook is interested in something,
they buy it.
Either they buy it or they will try to get you out of the business.
Yeah.
Which they tried with Snapchat. They tried to buy it for many years, but then they realized, okay, they are not gonna sell. So then they just literally copied all their essential features on Instagram. And now,
Snapchat. I'm glad they have never been interested in podcasting so far.
So far, so far being the keyword. So totally, you are right. I mean, it could be, because Clubhouse is, let's say, the first. I'm sure there have been other platforms before it who might have somewhat similar capabilities. Yeah. But Clubhouse is the first one which became popular, let's say, outside certain niche. So for now, it can totally happen, like as you can already see. So Twitter Spaces is, in my opinion, is already somewhat more advanced in certain things than Clubhouse. I mean, because of the amount of users Twitter already have, the amount of resources they have and everything. So I won't be surprised that when Facebook decide to launch, they copy all the good things. Plus, joking aside, Facebook already have groups, for example. They have groups of thousands and thousands of people. People think, are even Facebook groups relevant? Like, I'm part of a lot of Facebook groups which are very, very active, and I still get like a lot of relevant information from some of them.
I've heard it.
Imagine adding a social capability.
Like something like this audio. Yeah, that could work. Maybe bring back life to Facebook. So far, the life of Facebook more or less exists only in small private circles and subnodes. The more public facing front of it that it used to be, that has been very lackluster since last many years, since I remember.
Yeah, I mean, I consider Instagram as Facebook, right? Like now everyone uses Instagram, but they own it. So like, to me, it's like my data is still going to the same servers. And talking about data, what do you think about the privacy concerns related to Clubhouse? Because I remember reading a story that they were not really saving, you know, recordings and stuff somewhere in China, and it was not very well protected, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, if it would have only been some server in China, I wouldn't be like a dead sure skeptic. But then there were rumors coming out then that the data was being shared with the Chinese government and all. And then I realized, It's a shit ton of private things that could happen in a call when people are taken under the confidence that there would be no recording, right? So people might end up saying something that could be, you know, some sort of circumstantial evidence of something, or could be used against them, or just like, then it becomes a massive advertising hit. it's audio to speech is a very well-known application in AI.
Mm-hmm.
So once you have all these audios, you don't even need manual manual workers to like transcribe it.
Mm-hmm.
You could use the some models and convert it, and then you have shit ton more data. The amount of things a person can write in a minute for an average typer is much less than what the person can speak and the amount of expressiveness that could be added.
True.
So then the privacy concerns become much more, a little more dainty, a little more dark in mm-hmm. that regard. They have said that they don't record and shit, but I always wear my skeptic hat on that.
Yeah, so they don't say they don't record it. So they mm-hmm. do record it.
Mm-hmm.
But what they say is that immediately afterwards, unless someone has reported, mm-hmm. so someone reported certain conversation on Clubhouse, then they keep the recording
mm-hmm.
for legal purposes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But except that, they sort of immediately delete it now. So they have definitely improved some mm-hmm. of the things. So I have to give them that, because when I joined, I had to give them access to my whole contact list.
Oh, yeah, that.
But now that's not the case, for example, from last 2 months yeah. or so. So yeah, there have been slow.
There's also calendar access thing. Like if you want then to join, give some notification for something, then they were asking for the access to my entire calendar.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, now you know who are people in my contact list and what events I'm going to. That is already quite more than I would want to tell to most people.
I don't know about the calendar aspect, but they have been slowly improving, especially after the bad press they got of the China thing, which we just discussed.
The app came into action when what? 2019, 2020?
Just 1 year ago.
1 year ago, right?
Yeah.
So all these concerns were already there after Facebook's massive lawsuit and stuff. Why would you create an app with all these features in the first place? Like you could have been cautious in the very first version,
but,
right?
But to be honest, maybe some people might not like it, but mm-hmm. to be honest, on the front of actually building products and trying to go live mm-hmm. fast on the market,
mm-hmm.
the way you work in general is like you create a product,
mm-hmm.
you see even if people are interested or not,
mm-hmm.
and then you start thinking more about like privacy and stuff. Of course, from day one, we should care about it, but that's not usually possible when it's a small startup. They had like 5 people mm-hmm. who was doing all of it, but they became so really big, like almost mm-hmm. like an overnight hit. So when you have that, you don't have enough capability or people even with enough knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Now things are changing because now they have dedicated security engineers and like a better team. So unless you have people like that from day one,
mm-hmm.
with that type of understanding, it's very hard to do for a small startup with limited capabilities in the beginning. So I will give them, let's say that, because they are not like with Facebook, with a company with like God knows how much money they have. I don't give them any benefit of doubt. But for a small startup, I do give them benefit of doubt, because I know it's very hard to do mm-hmm. all of these things in practice. In theory, it should be done from day one, but unfortunately, it's not necessarily possible.
So maybe the ease of development is more when you're not concerned about privacy. Sad, possibly. Do you think, switching the gears a bit,
mm-hmm.
do you think this could be like some sort of a new viable career path? Because now live streams on Twitch or YouTube, being a YouTuber
mm-hmm.
is already part of our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
And people now want to be a YouTuber when they grow up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think in the long run, this could be a viable career path?
For a very small set of people, it is already becoming a career path.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I know that there are certain brands who have these Clubhouse rooms. They have hired people
mm-hmm.
whose job is only to moderate and speak in these rooms on a daily basis or weekly basis. And then there is also like a creator accelerator program from Clubhouse itself,
mm-hmm.
where they want to monetize content from original creators. So you can apply for it right now, and then you can get some money out of the content you are creating on their platform. And I'm sure the future will be more similar to YouTube, let's say,
mm-hmm.
where like for, I don't know how the advertisement will work. I'm not sure about their monetization part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it will be more or less like that, where YouTube right now takes certain share and then rest goes to the creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I can imagine that Clubhouse might try to do that.
As a monetization strategy?
I mean, as I said, they are already trying to monetize content for creators, right? So how else are they going to do it?
Yeah, but also like for an individual creator who has not been approached by these corporates, if they go by this YouTube-like model, because there is no concept of views in this. So that cannot be the currency.
Yeah.
But
it does not even have a concept of streams, like with podcasts have that X number of people listen. The only thing they can look at is like how many people were there in a room, maybe, for example, at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very interesting problem to think about. We don't have answers to all of these. So we also ask you if you have any thoughts on like how, let's say, Clubhouse or other social audio apps will monetize. So if you guys have any ideas, you can definitely also share them on social media with us.
Yeah, like we would love to hear your comments on that. You touched upon this, that where is this going? But let's frame the question slightly differently. You have used it initially a bit, maybe not currently. You have also seen Twitter Spaces a bit. What are the things that you would like to see going forward?
I mean, I do think that even though Clubhouse wants to be strictly, for example, audio only, but I do still want to have a possibility to connect with people within there, right? So I have a certain number of followers. I follow a certain number of people and I find some of them very interesting. Of course, I end up following them on Instagram and Twitter, but to me, that's an additional step.
Okay.
To me, that's like the minimum I'm expecting that Clubhouse can find, like, let's say, a solution or a better way to connect within the app.
Interesting. But yeah, moving forward, I think that is, apart from what you already mentioned, of course, that the ability to connect, I would also want to see that, okay, if I want to support a particular cause or creator, that could be, you know, just be smoothly done within the app.
So like a Patreon within Clubhouse.
Within the app, yeah. So can you think of something in like in the professional context where this could be more capitalized?
Yeah, that's something I was thinking actually after using Clubhouse. I really liked that how easy it was sometimes where I just don't have to worry about like there is no video, there is nothing. And I feel like right now in workplace, we have more like platforms like Slack, for example, where we do have informal text-based conversations. It's very much like a chat application, but we don't have those things when it comes to audio. The nearest I have for audio is like having a video call where my camera is turned off.
Yeah,
but that's not really an audio feature, or even sometimes leaving a feedback, for example, in audio form. When I look at work of a colleague and they want my feedback or vice versa, I have to arrange a call or something. It would be nice if I can just leave like a post-it note, so to speak.
Post-it
but in audio,
voice note, yeah.
There are companies like Figma, which is a design tools, which is used by digital designers. They actually are working on, they already have, I'm not sure if it's live, at least it was in beta, where you can actually leave a feedback, for example, on a design or something in audio form. So maybe there is something there.
I don't know, maybe we could experiment with the podcasting in the same format as well. Like we invite, like if enough people listen to it at some point, then we can just live record a podcast episode. And some people have already been doing it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think I know that some people... what they are doing is they have like these private groups like on Facebook or on WhatsApp, and there they have invitation only for the initial recording where they have certain audience and then everything else is recorded and going for normal listeners later on after a week or two after editing and things like that. So it's very interesting how like podcasters are differentiating the content, what they're recording, same content, but the use case is different based on the different audience. So
yeah, it certainly is exciting. And like the way people are capitalizing it is also quite intriguing to see changing different modes of already existing phenomena like podcasting or the business aspects of it maybe in the future. And the current new avenues that it opens for individual creators, for companies, and more often than not, whether you like it or not, for marketing and advertising that comes as a part and parcel of
for
it.
Sure.
So it does is an exciting avenue to explore further. We hope that you enjoyed our thoughts on this. We have been discussing it within ourselves and we thought to open it to you so that you can be a part of it as well. To be a part of it, it's not that difficult. You could follow us on any social media platform @info_under_the_radar on Instagram, @info_under_radar on Twitter. And you'll find all these links in the show notes as well. We would love to hear your comments on the questions that we asked during this short discussion of ours, which was that how do you think Clubhouse can monetize the aspect of it? And with that, I guess we take your leave. And if you if you're willing to go more into the basics of what social media actually is, please feel free to also listen to our third episode in the series with Dr. Sakthi Balan, which explores it into much detail. And with that, we take your leave and we see you with a regular episode next time on Wednesday.